You're no different from the rest of us. You got your great big plans, and baby, just like the rest of us, you really just don't
Welcome to Ask Pudge, the only show where you get to ask Pudge. I am Pudge. We didn't do a show last week because I have a cold. I still have a cold, but the difference is that this week, although I'm still not feeling great, at least I can talk and breathe. And last week, I couldn't. So our question this week, our first one, is from Danger Tenor. He actually generated his own question. And, you know, when someone takes the time to do that, well, he gets bumped right to the front of the line. So his question was sent via email, and here it is.
Pudge, I like your approach to technical matters. Your comments on /. Are even-handed and productive. My questions, however, are more personal, rather than technical. Here goes. Would you say that conservative ideologies are generally empowered by people's fears, whereas progressive politics are more often fueled by wishful thinking? And did Jesus' teachings lean more toward liberalism? What would be your moral, or biblical, justifications vis-a-vis military aggression and terrorism? Finally, how does Christianity play a role in your actions, your daily life?
Wow, there's a lot there. Let's start with the beginning, where you talked about conservatism and liberalism, or progressive politics. I don't really get the feeling of conservatism is fueled by fear. Certainly fear is used as a means to generate sympathy for conservative ideas, and the same thing with progressive ideas. You know, I heard former President Clinton out the other day, and he was talking about how the neocons and such are trying to use fear to generate some votes out there for the 2006 elections. But the Democrats are doing the same thing. I mean, you've got, on the one hand, sure, you've got someone saying that, you know, if you don't vote for the Republicans, then, you know, the world's going to end. But on the other hand, you get the Democrats. You know, there's this book by Peter Barnard out of the New Republican. He says, you know, his book is called Why Liberals and Only Liberals Can Win the War on Terror. So apparently if you don't vote for liberals, then you are against winning the war on terror. And it certainly doesn't, it's not just authors, it's politicians as well. And you get people talking about how they think that the most insidious threat that we have today is from within, from the Patriot Act. And that if, you know, we don't get Democrats in there to fix things, then our freedoms will be gone forever. So I certainly don't think that fear plays more one way or the other. I do, however, think that wishful thinking is kind of a core part of the motive behind many liberals being liberal in the first place. You know, William F. Buckley talked about immanentizing the eschaton, which is kind of a snooty way of saying making heaven on earth. Just the notion that we can make life on earth perfect. If we just get the right plans and the right ideas, then maybe, just maybe, we can get rid of disease and get rid of poverty, and we can all have, you know, a Star Trek-like existence where there's no money and everyone's happy except for the few crazy people out there who, you know, are probably conservatives anyway. And, you know, conservatives hear this and we just don't buy it. We just don't think that's possible. We think heaven is on heaven and earth is on earth. And that's not to say that we shouldn't go out and try to improve things, which leads me into the next part of your question, which is Jesus' teachings. I've heard liberals say that Jesus taught that we should try to help the poor, so therefore we should vote to increase taxes and use that money to help the poor. But Jesus didn't say anything about that. Jesus didn't say anything about using government as the instrument of helping the poor. Now, some liberals might say, well, it's the most efficient way to do it. It's the best way to do it. I don't agree. Sorry. There's a few reasons why I don't agree. One is because I don't think it's as effective. You know, I don't think I'm jumping out on a limb here by saying that government really doesn't work all that well most of the time. Yeah. Sue me. You know, I don't think that's such a terrible thing to say. But more importantly, from a religious perspective, I think that when your charitable works are done remotely, that they're just not as effective as a means to providing you any sort of, you know, for lack of a better term, spiritual enlightenment. You know, the whole reason why you're supposed to do charitable works isn't necessarily just to help people, but also to provide you with something. You know, one of the things that my family contributes to is this group that helps pregnant teens. And it's one thing to just write a check, but it's another thing to go down there and talk to the girls that need help, to find out what they need and how they can be helped and what's the most effective way to do it. Find out what they're really thinking, you know, and actually interact with them, you know, gosh, golly gee, interacting with real people. That's, and when you're working through government, that's not how things go. You just write a check to the IRS and think that you're doing a good deed. And worse than that, worse than it being done remotely, it's also done by force. So if I don't agree with how the money's being used, then that's not even a charitable work on my behalf anyways. It's something that I'm being forced to do, and that's not charity. That's not good for me in any way. You know, that's not to say that money can't be used in a good way. But charity is for you, not just for the person you're helping. So, bottom line is, no, I don't buy it. I don't think that Jesus teaches lean more towards liberalism. I can talk. Lean more towards liberalism. If you, by liberalism, you mean using the government to help people with, you know, food and clothing and all these other things that I don't think it's the government's job to do. You also asked about, you know, moral or biblical justifications for military aggression. That's a big question. I'm not sure what angle you're asking it from. So let me just say that I am, as many people are, a proponent of the just war theory, which says there are good and just reasons for war, and it lays out what some of those reasons are. Now, specifically about Iraq, it's a very difficult question whether or not Iraq is just according to the just war theory, because it depends on how you define your terms. If we went to war because we really thought that Iraq had these weapons and we really thought he was going to use them to hurt innocent people or to attack us, then yes, that is just to go in and do a preemptive strike and get rid of Hussein, who for the past 12 years had been violating sanctions and had been, you know, violating the ceasefire agreement that he had, that Hussein had previously made. If you think that the war was for oil, then no, that's not just at all. So it all depends on how you look at things, like most things do. I hope that answers your questions. And now we're going to move on to Stephen Edwards, who sent his question via email. And it was similar questions, but asked from a slightly different perspective.
So if we do a preemptive attack on Iran, will you still support the current administration? I've followed your journal for a while and have been interested in having a dialogue with you about some issues, but am unsure where to start. I'm a Christian. I was saved when I was 18. Have no doubt about my faith and views when it comes to conservatism. I cannot for the life of me see how there can still be support for the administration, as they are neither conservative nor Christian.
Well, I'll get to the issue of support in a minute, but first I want to talk about Iran specifically. And the bottom line is, I do not know much about why we would be going into Iran or what evidence we have to support going into Iran. And I don't think I'm going out on a limb here by saying that the United States has got its intelligence wrong quite a bit in regards to certain other countries. And I think that it's incumbent upon our government to give us a little bit more than it gave us last time before any of us even consider supporting going into Iran or any other country. That's not to say that that evidence isn't there, but I haven't seen it, and I'm, you know, most of us haven't seen it unless we have security clearance. And if anyone's listening to this who does have security clearance, well, I'd be shocked. But as far as Iran's concerned, I could certainly be swayed to go to support going into Iran, depending on what the evidence is. And at that point, though, then there, of course, there'd be a question of how to go into Iran. If we're just there to take out its nuclear arsenal, whatever that is, you know, if we know where the sites are, then maybe we should do just certain surgical strikes like President Clinton did in 98 against Iraq. You know, we launched hundreds of sorties into Iraq, dropped hundreds of bombs, and that did not constitute a war. It constituted the United States going in and taking care of business. Could the same thing be done in Iran today to get rid of their nuclear weapons? I don't know. You know, how should I know? But certainly that would be a preferable option to a full-fledged invasion, which I don't think the country would support at this time. And I know that I would have to be a lot more convinced than I am right now if I'm going to support it either. So speaking of support, I'm not sure if you... It seems to be implied in your question that I just blanketly support President Bush and everything. And that's, you know, if you've read my journal a lot, then you know that's not the case. I've criticized the Bush administration on many things, from tax policy to spending to government, you know, the use of government, especially federal government authority in areas where it does not have that authority. So, you know, I support him as the president of my country. I support him as the leader of my party, and I support specific policies of his, including his policy to cut taxes, although, again, he's not cutting spending, so that's kind of a wash. I support him in his embryonic stem cell policy, in his policy on abortion. I think he's done a great job of getting his good conservative justices to sit on the Supreme Court and also on the Federal Circuit Court. I support him in all those ways, and there's other ways where I do not support him at all. And you say that the administration is neither conservative nor Christian. And I'd agree with that, but I don't want to make too much of that either. We've only had, in my lifetime and probably in yours as well, one president I'd call conservative, and that's Ronald Reagan. And even he was not, you know, conservative enough for me in certain ways. We can't, you know, it's a big country, and the country isn't 50 or more percent conservative. We can't necessarily have a conservative president. I'd like it if we could, but it's... But, you know, it's a tough job to get someone there who's conservative. I'm not going to reject someone just because they're not as conservative as I want them to be. And in regards to being Christian, well, I mean, most of our presidents, probably actually all of our presidents have been Christian for some broad definition of the word Christian. But we've never been a Christian nation. You know, we've never been a nation that evangelizes Christianity at the government level, that makes sure that all of its laws are compatible with Christianity. That's never been what our government has been. It certainly is, I think most of us would agree, antithetical to what this government, what this country is supposed to be. So I'm not going to drop my support for him just because he's not conservative, just because he's not Christian, or because the administration is not Christian, because I don't think they should be, or I don't think they always can be. I certainly like it when these policies are compatible with Christianity and conservatism, but it's not something you can expect to happen all the time. Now, perhaps you're meaning this in a slightly different way. Maybe you're speaking out and saying that you think that our foreign policy is, you know, specifically antithetical to Christianity. Or maybe you're talking, you know, in regards to, for instance, our last questioner, maybe you're saying that a lot of the social policy, the domestic policy, is also antithetical to Christianity. To that, I would just say I, for the most part, disagree. So you said you wanted to start a dialogue. Well, just go onto my /.journal, respond to this podcast episode, and ask any follow-up questions you want, and we can have a dialogue. I want to thank everyone for listening. If you have more questions, you can just send them to ask@pudge.net or go to pudge.net/ask. Or you can go on to my /.journal and you can engage in dialogue there. Our music this week is from the Lost Dogs. They're pretty much the only band I ever go see. I don't get out much. This is from their latest album, The Lost Cabin and the Mystery Trees. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time on Ask Pudge.
He's not sitting up in the White House, not subject to your big debates. Keeps his hands completely off Wall Street. Don't own stocks, bonds, or real estate. He ain't up dropping bombs on people or working on a college degree. He tunes out all them radio blowhards. Can't stand the networks and religious TV. And that's Jesus in the homeless faces, with the junkies in their living hell. And that's Jesus with the drunks and in the lonely places, the rest homes and prison cells. That's where Jesus is. That's where Jesus is. He don't hug trees or kill them or drive a particular car. Won't help you write a big hit song. Don't care how good looking you are. Jesus won't be voting. He's not your party crashing dog in this fight. Not a fan rooting for your home team. Don't ensure that your future is bright. That's Jesus in the homeless faces, with the junkies in their living hell. That's Jesus with the drugs and in the lonely places, the rest homes and prison cells. That's where Jesus is, where we ought to be. Here's where Jesus works, inside you and me, with the folks with AIDS and the suffering kids. That's where Jesus hangs. That's where Jesus is. On the corner around the prostitutes is where he'll probably show. He gets invited to church sometimes, but sometimes he don't go. Don't care nothing about your status, what you can or you can't afford. Don't care if you're voted best actor, not impressed with your big award. He's not in a five-star restaurant, eating a six-course meal. He's not over on some golf course.